From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of January 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Barack Obama is taking stock of upcoming federal economic legislation, including a possible stimulus package. It appears large livestock farms are getting a disproportionately high level of equip funds. And Iranian state television is reporting OPEC nations will hold a special meeting in February. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then Daryl Good will take us through the four fundamental reasons impacting the price of commodities in the last calendar year. Hey, don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March soft red winter wheat at $6.16¾ finished 5¾ a bushel higher. May futures at $6.29½, up 5¾. In July, up 6½ cents at $6.41. For the soft red winter wheat, Kansas wheat at $6.42¼, up 8¾. March corn futures $4.11¼, down a penny. May at $4.21½, 1¼ lower. In July at $4.31½, down 1½. September corn futures $4.41½, a penny and a half lower. And December contract at $4.55¼, finished a penny lower. January soybeans up 13¾ cents to settle at $9.83¾. The March at $9.87, a dime higher. May futures $9.98¼, up 9¾. And July beans at $10.09¼, up 9¼. Your November new crop at $10.12. finished 8½ cents higher. January bean meal at $2.98.70, down $2.30 for the day. January bean oil at $34.90, $1.32 higher. February live cattle from the CME Group at $87.55, up 45. The April's down 35 at $90.40. And the feeders finished the January's at $97, even up $1.40. The March up $1.20 at $96.72½. February lean hogs on the afternoon, $62.67½, down $1.17½. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures are trading the February contract at $48.81 a barrel, up $2.40. The March there at $52.69, $2.48 higher. Jan ethanol at $1.63¼, that's up a penny and a tenth. February at $1.65 is just about 0.3 cents lower. Natural gas trading at $6.07⅓, 10¾ higher. The RBOB gasoline at $1.18¼, up 6¾ for the day. And the heating oils trading the February contract, it's diesel fuel at $1.57¾, up 9¾ for the nearby Febs. The March there at $1.59, 8¼ higher for the heating oil. Propane futures, a penny and a tenth higher at 66¾ cents in the February contract. January gold futures at $857.21, down $21.60 on the afternoon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 89.19. It's 114 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 82.61, down 1.18 on the afternoon. The Goldman Sachs at 371.19 is up 12.17 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon. Should be in the north mostly sunny, in central sections partly sunny. Tonight in northern sections in central Indiana, clear to partly cloudy. Elsewhere, partly to cloudy with scattered showers of snow or a wintry mix of snow, sleet, and freezing drizzle this evening. Lows will range tonight from 15 in the north to 30 in the far south. Tomorrow should have mostly cloudy skies. In the north, scattered snow showers arriving in central sections, areas of light snow, possibly mixed at times with sleet or freezing rain and drizzle. In the south, flurries, freezing rain early, changing to rain. Highs tomorrow from 30 in the north to 40 in the southeastern part of Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the ag futures markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Ready to get back into the swing of the things?
Boy, hopefully a normal week as far as doing something every day at work.
Well, that'd be all right. It's good to have some time off, but once you get it gets a little irregular, and it's better to be regular than irregular, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll leave that one alone.
All right, well, let's talk about the commodity markets. We'll stay off of that one for a while. Let's talk about the commodity markets. We had a 13-cent jump in the soybeans today. Corn didn't follow the thing up, though. What happened?
Well, we feel it's Chinese bean buying interest. They've been a good buyer of U.S. beans, and the ideas are they could be a buyer here for a little bit before they turn their focus to the southern hemisphere, but they've got their Lunar New Year holiday coming up here as we move through the next couple weeks, and the ideas are they're gathering some coverage there, and has kept the bean market firm. And plus, too, the outside influence from the energy market, looking at political unrest in the Mideast states there, then probably the one thing that came up today that caught some speculators a little bit by surprise, just the official announcement adding more crude oil to the strategic reserve gave the market some boost, but that spilled over into the bean complex and bean oil complex. Also, Malaysia palm oil moved to some 3-4 month highs too, so that sort of pulled the bean sector up and kept the other sectors a little bit on the defensive, as we probably saw buying the beans and selling the corn on a spread.
You know, while we had a bean market that moved 9, 10, 13 cents and corn just a penny, some of the fundamental reasons, I think, over the last 4 weeks seem to me sound much like those periods where the markets were lackadaisical and didn't move very much. Have things begun to change in the economy in terms of stabilizing just a bit and the marketplace a bit more stable, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. You know, as far as the stability, probably just the lack of the fear or panic that we saw here last fall and the uncertainty there. That's probably the main topic. But I think we're sort of lackadaisical until we get through mid late January here. See how some of these weekly unemployment numbers come out. See how the market handles some of these big credit card bills that are coming due here middle of January, too.
What's your thought on whether producers ought to stay put with corn locked up tight at this point?
Well, what we did clear back last summer in our marketing plan was targeting this December time window to make more sales.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got in December here, saw the market was going higher, we divided our sales up into three categories or divided up into thirds, and we've let one-third go, and we're going to hang on to another two-thirds here and see if we can't go a little higher and sort of scale into it. But our plan is to get caught up on cash sales here at these levels. One idea is that maybe these shorter-term cycles might pull back here as we go into late January.
You know, but it's probably early to think about this, but as we go through the season, generally February, March, April tend to be better marketing months than some of the rest of them. How much do you have left to market?
On corn, we're down to our last 30% on the 08. On beans, we're 60% sold, and we like to get up to 80% sold here fairly quickly. Corn's rallied a good strong dollar off the low. These beans are good $2 off the low. With the uncertainty of the economy and so forth, we'd like to cash some of this stuff in. If one wants to maintain ownership, then we're going to move that to a paper position, because if we do have an extended rally, you'll see the basis widen out on us a little bit longer term. So it's really depending on your own personal situation, where you're at. If you use futures and options, you can get real aggressive on moving the cash and transferring ownership. If you don't like futures or options, we still recommend hanging on to a low inventory to try to sell higher to bring your average up. Now, that being said, on the 08, we feel it's going to be very important to develop a marketing plan on 09 because producers have locked in some input costs, and in order to meet those financial obligations, we're going to have some cash flow needs to pay those bills.
You know, last week USDA updated some five-year revisions on the crop forecast that, of the past. The final numbers for crop production will come out the 12th of January. That's next Monday. Any feeling about what might happen?
Well, yeah, the state of the economy, uncertainty, everybody's got different opinions on that outlook, and probably the key number will be in the corn supply-demand balance sheet on demand. Even though the USDA's got a lower demand estimate, when you look at the weekly export sales report and shipments and so forth, corn exports are running below what the trade would like it to see happen. There could be some readjustments there. Then, that being said, the domestic demand on the ethanol side, with Veresen stepping aside here, trade's expecting overall ethanol usage to drop some there too. So if you're going to have a good fundamental bull any market whatsoever, you got to have some strong fundamental underlying support, and that might be waning here as we go into 2009.
Thanks much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, President-elect Barack Obama is meeting today with congressional leaders of both political parties to discuss their legislative agendas, with plans for upcoming economic stimulus legislation at the top of the list. Obama is meeting with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, as well as House Minority Leader John Boehner and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who will reportedly discuss the scope and timing of the economic stimulus package. Conservative Senate Republicans and moderate Democrats already have indicated concern about the amount of money that will be included in the package. Obama officials have been discussing an economic stimulus between $675 and $775 billion. Officials at the Campaign for Family Farms and the Environment say USDA records show that industrial-sized livestock operations are receiving a disproportionate share of the funds USDA disperses annually under the Environmental Quality Incentive Program. USDA officials contend that the program is administered in a way that is size-neutral, and that the vast majority of EQIP contracts are signed with small producers, and that the average contract program grant totals less than $32,000. Iran's state television today says OPEC countries have decided to hold an extraordinary meeting on falling oil prices in Kuwait in February. Today's report quotes Iran's OPEC governor as saying the organization planned to hold a regular meeting in March, but that the trend of oil prices calls for holding a meeting a month earlier. The exact date for the meeting is not fixed, and members of OPEC have yet to receive a formal invitation. World Trade Organization officials say that the current head of the WTO, Pascal Lamy, is the only candidate to be the next director general, since no one has emerged to challenge him for the job. Lamy's four-year term as head of the body that referees World Trade expires at the end of August this year. WTO members must now decide whether Lamy's reappointment is automatic or the organization should still go through the motions of a formal selection process, which would name a successful candidate by May 31st to take office from September. It is the first time in the WTO's 14-year history that there has not been a contested candidacy. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Dave will be at the helm here on this program tomorrow. You can listen to it, by the way, anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. Tomorrow and Wednesday, I'll be out hosting the Corn and Soybean Classics. That's the first two of six. Tomorrow we'll be in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn. If you haven't already registered, you can still walk in if you'd like. There'll be nine University of Illinois specialists from the crop sciences departments and from the Ag Econ department upstairs in Mumford Hall, where my office is located, including Daryl Good and Gary Schnitke. That's all at the Corn and Soybean Classics. $65 to walk in. You get all the materials, a day-long event, and lunch, all right there at the Holiday Inn in Mount Vernon tomorrow. And then right here at the I Hotel and Conference Center on campus just south of the Assembly Hall on Wednesday, $65 to walk in. We hope to see you there. Next week we'll be in Bloomington on Monday, Springfield on Tuesday, on Wednesday in Moline, and Thursday in Malta at Kishwaukee College, the Corn and Soybean Classics. You can find out all the details, if you'd still like, on our website. It's willag.org. Just hit calendar, and then you'll find a link to the Corn and Soybean Classics. Now, up next, you know there are four primary factors that drove the price of commodities higher in 2008. I'll have a review of the year with University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. In many ways, 2008 was a record year for the major agricultural commodities, corn, soybean, and wheat. University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good says all three established record high prices.
I think three or four factors probably contributed to that. Certainly, escalating crude oil prices and energy prices that drove biofuels prices and therefore feedstock prices was one of those factors. We had an extremely strong export demand right across the board, corn, soybeans, and wheat, reflecting some shortage of wheat, particularly around the world, due to small crops the previous 2 years. And then I think we also got into some hoarding around the world. A lot of importing countries worried about stocks. We saw a number of countries limit exports. At the peak of the market, we saw some importers trying to build inventory of wheat, just panicking about supplying folks with food. And then certainly the flooding that took place in the U.S. that raised concerns about the size of the 2008 crops. All of that kind of culminated at those record high prices. And then along comes July, which was an awfully good growing season for corn and soybeans. We turned out to have good crops, and then came September 15th when we found out about financial woes, and the meltdown in those markets began and pushed prices down sharply. So, you know, kind of the 6 months from June, July to early December, we really saw commodity prices come down sharply. Corn cash market over $7 to under $3. Soybeans over $15 to under $8. And then we ended the year with kind of a positive note, with corn prices rallying about a dollar during the month of December and soybeans about a dollar and a half. As I think maybe the worst of the news about the financial crisis was over, we did see some maybe bottoming of petroleum prices and some concerns about supply out of South America. So I think we've now made the transition. You know, beginning in mid-September, it was all about demand, what's going to happen to the U.S. and world economies, who's going to be able to afford to buy what. Everything was dictated by the demand side of the market. Now I think it's going to be a bit more two-sided as we move forward. We're going to look at demand, certainly, but also now with the South American harvest coming on in early 2009, acreage and production issues in the U.S., we'll have supply issues influencing the market as well. So I think we'll continue to see some extremely volatile markets. Would not expect us to go back to the highs that we saw in 2008. But I think we could see prices higher than might generally be expected at times during the upcoming year because of supply concerns.
So a short supply of wheat, the skyrocketing price of crude oil, the late planting season caused by excessive rainfall, and strong domestic and international demand all pushed last year's commodity markets to historically high marks before the economic crash in September. This year, should the economy stabilize, some of those same factors could very well come into play again. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to check the cash grain markets. And the folks at the Andersons are on the line with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to Greg and Greg Johnson. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about basis at this point.
Well, the good news is the futures market is going up. The bad news is the basis is slipping a little bit. We've hit $4 on cash corn, which is one of those targets for farmers, and we haven't quite hit the $10 target that most of the farmers are holding out for on beans, but we're getting close, and basis levels at the Gulf are slipping a little bit, but we'll gladly take a 1 or 2 cent slip in the corn basis and a 2 or 3 cent slip in the bean basis in exchange for these higher futures prices.
Yeah, so the basis on the corn slipped just a bit because there was a lot of pressure coming out of the bins?
Well, you know, the expectation is that there will be a lot of a lot of movement coming out of the bins. We really haven't seen it yet. We've seen a lot of corn that was in storage and DP getting priced out at $4 to stop those storage charges. But as far as selling real, what I call real bushels out of the bins, haven't really seen that yet. I think farmers are, you know, selling percentages, but they're selling that corn that was delivered in the fall on storage and DP first.
What are your expectations for the month of January?
That crop report from the USDA on January 12th does not sound to be very promising. Exports are down. Ethanol usage is down, so we're looking at ending stocks increase from 1.4 to probably 1.6 billion on corn. So probably no good news out of the corn market from that report, but by the same token, we need to look ahead at some point in time to new crop acres, and we definitely can't have these lower prices stay forever if we expect to plant more corn acres. So the report might be a little negative corn in the short run, but we need to run corn prices up between now and spring.
Speaking of prices, what are yours?
Cash corn tonight is $3.96 for old crop, $4.20 for new. The beans are $9.74 for old crop, $9.67 for new, and wheat is $5.01.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson with the Andersons. Joins us from the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County on a Monday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A hearing in a lawsuit that seeks to stop the state from closing the Pontiac Correctional Center has been delayed indefinitely, and the prison could remain open for some time. Spokesman for the Illinois Department of Corrections and the union that represents prison workers says today's hearing in Vienna was pointless. That's because an injunction issued in another lawsuit over the plan to close the Pontiac prison is keeping the prison open. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees has filed 3 lawsuits over the prison. Corrections spokesman Derek Schnapp says the prison closure plan is at a standstill. The Danville School District wants the community to weigh in on the future of three aging school buildings at a series of public forums this week. North Ridge and South View Middle Schools and East Park Elementary School were all built about 50 years ago at minimal cost. District 118 board member Greg Hillary says it would take around $45 million to repair and upgrade the buildings. A committee will determine this spring whether to tear down or repair the structures. They want to hear from the public first. The first forum takes place at 4 p.m. tomorrow at Northridge Middle School, the second at 6 p.m. Wednesday at East Park School, and the third forum Thursday at 7 at Southview Middle School. A federal judge in Chicago says prosecutors can have three more months to obtain an indictment in Governor Rob Blagojevich's corruption case. Chief Judge James Haldeman granted the extension today, saying the case against Blagojevich is too complex to expect prosecutors to obtain an indictment by the original January 7th deadline. President-elect Barack Obama has selected Indiana University law professor Dawn Johnson to be Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legal Counsel. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. The folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago are on the line with us. Josh Starr, good afternoon to you.
Happy New Year, Todd.
Happy New Year to you as well. Kind of gray skies, but I suppose it's not too terribly bad for the month of January.
Yeah, I mean, compared to where we've been past couple weeks, too, it feels maybe a little more balmy than what we've been accustomed to in the back half of December there. Frontal system stalled out across the southern plains into the Ohio River Valley, and basically a low-pressure system's riding along that. Brings a chance of some snow showers, maybe a very light accumulation across portions of southeastern part of Illinois into Indiana, but the main storm system actually goes up into the Appalachians and up the East Coast tomorrow and into Wednesday. So not a very big precipitation event for us, but there is temps will definitely plunge colder starting Wednesday into Thursday. A little bit moderation through the weekend, and then we have another cold shot coming through late the weekend and early next week, and that will start to feel a little bit more like we were accustomed to there before the Christmas holidays. So very volatile and variable temperature situation here. No significant precip events here across Illinois and kind of the central portions of the Midwest over at least the next 5 to 6 days. We need to monitor that cold front coming through late in the weekend for potential snow, but it doesn't look like a big snow event either. So,
oh boy, Windy City weather has really gotten to you. You called 28 degrees balmy.
After a high of, 6 that one day we had back here a couple weeks ago, 28 feels pretty good.
No, I think we got to a high of 0 here, so it wasn't too bad. Hey, speaking of 0 and 6, you said cold weather and a plunge. How deep are we talking?
Well, temps out there at the end of the weekend, we could see temps at nighttime down in the upper single digits and maybe around 10 degrees and in highs in the teens on Sunday into Monday and then rebounding a little bit thereafter. So probably not to the intensity and the level that we saw there the couple days in around December 21st, but still a pretty decent cold push late this weekend. Nothing that at this point looks like a winter kill threat for bare ground for winter wheat across the Midwest or South Central Plains for the hard red belt. But it is something we need to watch a little bit here because after that massive erosion of the snowpack we experienced with the flooding rains a week ago, the crop is exposed. So something to keep an eye on.
Any trouble spots in the southern hemisphere we need to keep track of?
Well, there is one spot really. Argentina, northeastern Argentina is an area to continue to watch. We're starting to see further improvement across southern Brazil, but northeastern Argentina still is drier than they'd like to be. And with the sandy soils and the time of year, it's definitely a spot to watch here pretty closely for corn and beans.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. That's Josh Darr. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. On a Monday afternoon, I'll be out of the office tomorrow and the next day hosting the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. Those kick off about 8 o'clock in the morning for pre-registration. You can get there from some dog coffee and maybe a donut or two if you'd like. $65 to walk in. We'll be at the Holiday Inn tomorrow in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and then back here in Urbana-Champaign at the I Hotel just south of the Assembly Hall on Wednesday of this week. It's the Corn and Soybean Classic Series, the first two in a series of six. Next week, we'll be out across the rest of the state with four more of those. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's 2:36 Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn-Henry Frayne, our technical director.